Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for being in our presence, for speaking to us at the very beginning and telling us how much you loved us. We can't do enough or say enough, Father God, to tell you how much we love you. But I thank you that you're here tonight ministering to your people and that each and every need will be met. And Father, I thank you for your angelic host that's walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to the people, healing the brokenhearted, setting the captives free. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad to see you all out in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I just thank God that you're hungry and thirsty and you come to sit at his table and to be fed and to be changed. And I've heard a couple more testimonies of how these messages are really dealing with the people's hearts and how they're really crying out to God for change. And I thank God for that. I was reading Leviticus 9, chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. Do what God tells you, and you will see his glory. God's glory appears wherever there is obedience." Then 1 Samuel 4:21 says, "Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God had been captured." Then it goes on to say, "And because of her father-in-law and her husband." See that? It was people that was keeping the glory from coming into God's house. And that's what's happening here. It's people in here that's keeping the glory from coming into God's house. So Ichabod says we can lose God's glory. Amen. I just want you to keep that in your mind. That's just a little tidbit that I ran across late this afternoon. And I thought it was interesting, so I thought I'd share it with you. Tonight I'm going to talk about achieve breakthrough by your tests. All right. Don't be disqualified by your tests. Let those tests become stepping stones to your promotion. Enter into the breakthrough. God has called the lighthouse into a new season of his presence with a release of the open heaven. He did it a couple years ago. There is a place of breakthrough that God gives us. And as long as we protect the ground we have gained in him, there is nothing that can hinder us from moving higher and higher in his power and glory. All right. Through these teachings that God's been giving you, because I thought, you know, I expect God to move one way, but he's been giving us teachings each and every night. And he titled it In His Presence. And the teachings are causing us, hopefully, to get closer to him, to get in his presence. Amen. So I said, there is nothing that can hinder us from moving higher and higher in his power and glory. How do we enter into that breakthrough? You position yourself before the Lord in prayer and allow him to pour out his glory in a fresh way in your life. You position yourself before the Lord in prayer and allow him to pour out his glory in a fresh way in your life. As you position yourself before the Lord, you will feel a renewed passion and sense of urgency to see a fresh awakening released in our nation. God is going to use the lighthouse to help prepare the way for one of the greatest moves of God we have ever seen. Now, I read a prophetic word, I think it was by Cindy Jacobs. She mentioned every state except Delaware. The glory was going to drop in every state except Delaware, you know, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, you know, everybody around us, but they left Delaware out. Why? Because Delaware is hard to God. Delaware has an atmosphere of heaviness over it because Delaware does not want God. Every pastor that used to come through here would say, "Barbara, you need to get out of here because you're never going to get anywhere in this state because these people do not want God. They reject him at every turn." And that is still true. Delaware still has not given themselves over to God, and that atmosphere is over us, and everybody keeps prophesying that isn't going to happen. But you know what? God told me a long time ago he's going to use the lighthouse to win lower Delaware and lower Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula area to Christ. So I know that God is preparing a few of you in here. There's some of you that still are messed up. But those of you who are searching and reaching out to God with all your heart, he said he'd give me a handful. With that handful, he was going to win Delaware to Christ. So I'm still believing with every fiber of my being. He hasn't told me any different. And he's always told me we're the Philadelphia church. And when I asked him a year ago, he said, you're still the Philadelphia church. And I might be teaching on that. But so he hasn't changed his mind. I haven't changed my mind. And I'm still holding on to everything he's promised us. So they might not prophesy that Delaware is going to do anything, that the glory isn't going to drop in Delaware. But I have news for them. It is. It is. Amen. We fought too hard. We fought too many devils, fought too hard and come too far not to have the glory drop. And I'm not moving to Baltimore or Maryland just so I can see the glory. God has not told me, you know, one of the pastors, he said, Barbara, please come down here to Florida. He said, I'll set you up in a church. He said, you have a great following. And Rodney Howard Brown told me that. And he says, get out of Delaware because you can't go anywhere there. I said, God hasn't released me and I can't do that. He said, God, release her. But, you know, man can't release me. Amen. His words didn't release me. So I'm here. We're here. And we're here for the duration, right? And you guys are really working and walking really holy and getting your walking in righteousness and getting yourself right, we're going to see a great mighty move with the Father. We don't care who doesn't want to go along with us. You can just go your way because we're going to have a good time. And you're going to be standing on the sidelines saying, I wish I had got it, or else cussing us. I don't know what you'd be doing, you know. But it'd be too late because God said nobody's going to come in on your coattails. He always told me that. So you guys are working out your own salvation, right? Isaiah 11:10 says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So God is looking for a resting place. Has he found one in your heart? God's looking for a resting place. See, if each one of you let him rest in your heart, then we make a handful, right? And then through that handful, God can do his work. The Holy Spirit desires to come and abide in a tangible way. And he is looking for those who will make room for him to come. As the Holy Spirit is poured out, there will be many centers of healing raised up where people will come from miles around to receive a touch from him. There will be such a degree of the manifest presence of God that people will be healed before they're even prayed for. God always told me, daughter, you have a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. So what happened in Catherine Kuhlman's, before she even said a word, God had already healed the people. He hasn't changed his mind on that either. So we're all looking forward to that, are we not? I'm looking forward to you guys being the people that go through the hospitals and you walk through. Everybody jumps out of their bed and runs out of the hospital because they're healed. Because God has promised us that was going to happen too. You'll be Peter's. You won't be. You know, God told me I was Peter. Went and cut everybody's ear off the other night. But you'll be Peter's where you walk down the corridor and your shadow will heal the people. This is coming. This is coming. So I said, there will be such a degree of the manifest presence of God that people will be healed before they're even prayed for. They will be healed just walking into his presence. So if you walk into place, you took Jesus with you, didn't you? And that just because you walked into a place, they'll be healed because of the Jesus in you. God is about to show off his power. The healing anointing is about to increase upon the church, releasing many into signs, wonders, and miracles with a bold witness for the Lord. Even the meekest in the church will roar like a lion. Did y'all read, somebody said, I don't think it was Cindy Jacobs, I think it was that lady that does charisma. She said when the people were clapping and shouting, she heard the lion roar at the inauguration. I said to God, I wish I'd been there. I'd love to have heard that. Amen. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is what's going to happen here, guys, believe it or not. You know, I used to, you know, when God told me the glory is going to drop, he said, and don't grow weary in telling me the glory is going to drop. And there for a while, I mean, it's been 8-9 years or something. I really felt like I'm not ever saying that again. But you know what? There's something in me that says, it is going to drop. Devil, you try to discourage me. You didn't want me to say it, but keep saying it, but it is going to drop. Or he wouldn't have fought me so hard to keep me from saying it. Amen. So I want you guys to get as excited as I am right now, because God is getting ready to move in a mighty way. He's getting ready to do great and powerful things. And we're right in the very center of his will in it. All right, a season of inspection and testing. God is looking for resting places where he can come and settle down. Places where he can display his power, and he is looking for people with whom he can trust his anointing. The church has been in a season of inspection and testing. You know, I said God is looking for a resting place where he can come and settle down. Remember what he said the other night, that Delaware never finishes anything they start? Well, evidently some of you don't either yet. And he wants to be able to come and rest and settle there. He wants to put up his little tent or whatever, you know, and he wants to move right on in and stay there. He wants to settle in. So each one of you have to determine your heart, God, this is a settling place. You can settle inside of me because I'm going to go all the way with you. Amen. So Judges 7 verse 1 says, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. Now there's a reason why we're reading this. And 20,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained, the ones who were afraid, all right? Fearful and afraid. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. So there was two separate bunches of people there. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people of every man to his place, go to his place. Now, so the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent them away, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. I read that to say this. God spoke to me and said, I'm shaking the church. It's a couple of years ago, so shook the church. And then just a few were here. Then he said, I'm shaking the church again. And then he shook the church again. And then just a few were left again. And then he said, recently, I'm shaking the church again. I said, there's nothing left to shake. He said, yes, there is. And when I'm finished shaking, there's going to be a handful. You know, he has big hands, you know. There's going to be a handful that I'll be able to use to bring the glory. So, you know, God's been shaking. God's been sending people out. And he said he's still going to send. Some of you won't be here when the glory drops, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And God needs the people perfected, and he needs a resting place and a settling place. That's why I read that. So this is where we're at right now. God is shaking, and he's testing, and he's sending out those who he doesn't want here. All right? Just as Gideon's army was tested to see who would qualify, God has been testing many hearts. Many understand why, or have lost sight of the ultimate end, which is a display of God's glory. Many understand why we're being tested, because it's so we can carry the glory. Some don't care anymore if they carry the glory or not. All right? It is vital that each one of us personally and corporately recognize the tests we are still facing, so that we can pass them and move to the next level God has for us. We must get the heavenly perspective so that our circumstances, no matter how negative, do not determine our future. Are you listening? It is our response to those circumstances that will determine our next step in God. It is our response to those circumstances that will determine our next step in God. In other words, will you be here or won't you? All right? And whether he can trust us with more of his power. He needs to be able to trust us with his power, guys. The very testing some have been walking through will become the very thing that promotes them in this season. They will become carriers of God's grace and glory because they will have learned two things during this time. First, they will have learned how to lean upon God's grace, which has been sufficient for them. You know how many times I said, God, remove that thorn in my flesh. He says, my grace is sufficient. In other words, if you're going through a terrible test and you say, God, this test has been going on long enough, remove this thing. And he says, my grace is sufficient. Or stand still. Those are two of his favorite little statements, right? All right. And second, and they will have learned that God's glory is revealed in their weaknesses. You see that? God's glory is revealed in our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. This is Paul speaking. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul's saying, go ahead, let the infirmity stay. I'd rather have that infirmity and have more power from God and more grace. So we need to quit saying, God, take this thorn from me. We must say, whatever it takes, God, to get me where you want me to be. Amen. Press me. Press me. God will choose the most unlikely of people, just like he chose Gideon. Judges 6:13, the weakest of the weak. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? How many times have we said all that? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? We've said about that. Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. No, I never said that, but I did all the other things. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? You need to stop thinking how you're going to do something. If God is sending you, God will equip you. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my fathers in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. If you read the rest of the story, it was victory after victory. You know, don't say, well, God, you know, I don't know the Bible, or, you know, I haven't been to Bible college, or, you know, I've only been a Christian. You don't use all those excuses. If God is choosing you, then he's choosing you, and he will equip you to do the works he's called you forth to do. We must remember God is for us and wants to promote us. We have to always remember that God is for us and wants to promote us. It will be by his power through a yielded heart that we overcome every test and pass on to the next level. God is trying to take this church to a new level. How many in here are passing your test so you can go to that new level? Only you know that. Please don't fail your test. Please keep marching on and get to that next level. We can make it. We can make it together. As we pray for one another, as we stand in the gap for one another, we can make it. I was praying about something that really upset me last night in the service, and God said, well, I want you to take it to the courtroom. So I wrote Brett and Nancy an email and said, would you please do this for me because I'm too upset. I gave them my assignment. They took it to the courtroom and prayed about it. You know, I said, God, I just can't do this right now because I'm betwixt and between. I'm messed up. And I couldn't pray properly. Have you ever been there? You're angry. And you're going to let your anger overrule your heart. And you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. So it's okay to say that to somebody. Will you please do this for me? See, they knew how to go to the courtroom, though. That's why I wanted them to do it. They knew the exact way to go to it. So they did, and I felt better. They set me free. All right, we must remember God is for us and wants to promote us. It will be by his power through a yielded heart that we overcome every test and pass on to the next level. Every test we are facing or have faced is an opportunity for a promotion. You know, we still have to fight, even though, you know, God says we won the victory. We are still going to have to fight. If you read the prophetic word for the day today, the enemy has to do new tactics now. So we're going to be fighting in a different way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." See that? It's the power of God and not of us. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." You see that? "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." God, Jesus, lives inside of us. He is alive and he is well. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I. Every time you do something dumb, he's saying, "God, please don't strike them dead. They really don't know what they just did. Just don't strike them dead. Give them more grace." And that's the truth. And that's why we're still standing where we're standing today. And that's why God has delivered us from the evil that's been inside of us, because Jesus said, "Please give them more grace." You know, Brother Brett had it. Do you want to tell your dream, Brother Brett? I think right now would be a good time to give that dream he had. Vision, whatever it was.
Yeah, I had a dream.
Talking about grace, that's why I want to do this.
Yeah, I had a dream last night that I was in a house and I had dogs with me. Apparently, I cared about dogs. They were my dogs in the dream. And there was about three or four of them. And there was a hole in the wall and some foxes were trying to get in through the hole in the wall, and one of them got in and they started attacking my dogs. And immediately I thought, you know, they're injuring my dogs. I got to protect them. So I gathered my dogs and put them behind me, and I had the fox by his throat, and I was looking for something to kill it with, because I figured, even in the dream, you know, foxes are bad. It's sin trying to come in. So I'm looking for a hammer, and there's people standing around me and they're saying, no, don't do that. Don't kill the fox in front of us. You know, you need to have more mercy. You need to have grace on that fox. And I'm at war with myself thinking, but I have to kill this thing. It's attacking my flock. And then the purpose, the meaning of the dream was that I need to show more grace and have more compassion, because the fox is a person that they're messed up, they're in sin, but they need grace, they need mercy and compassion to love them through that and then get them set free. And I wanted to kill them at first.
I want to cut their ears off, and he just wants to kill them. Amen. Both of us are learning more about grace. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? That was an awesome dream, wasn't it? We are about to see the sword of the Lord, God's justice and judgment, released against the works of the enemy. Against the works of the enemy. Judges 7:16. Then he divided the 300 men. This is talking about Gideon. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you shall also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Now, this is a pretty dumb way to go to war, right? So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Akiah toward Zariah as far as the border of Abel. So, see, whenever they did what God told them to do, the enemy turned on themselves, and Gideon won the war. But now, I read this because that was a strange way to go to war. God is going to ask us to do strange things. And we have to understand that it is God. And we have to be obedient to God and do what God's asking us to do. And not take our eyes off of God and look at the circumstance and look how dumb it seems that the thing he wants us to do. But to know that God is God and he knows exactly how to work everything out. No matter what anybody's saying to you, If this is what God told you to do, then that's how you have to do it. Amen. God is about to release the light of his glory through vessels that have been emptied and broken. Has he emptied you out and broken you so far? He's been trying to do that with the teachings so that he can execute and decree judgment on the works of the enemy. Let's read that again. God is about to release the light of his glory through vessels that have been emptied and broken. Why? So that he can execute and decree judgment on the works of the enemy. As God's glory is revealed in us during this season, the very works of the enemy will come under God's judgment and be destroyed. As God's glory is revealed in us during this season, the very works of the enemy will come under God's judgment and be destroyed. God has released his sword of justice on behalf of his people. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, we're as upset as anybody else is, because we're just waiting for God to do this great and marvelous work that he's saying he's going to do. There's a great shaking happening in the world around us today. And these shakings around us are a sign of the power that is about to be revealed in the church. Prepare and be ready. So get ready and prepare your hearts for his coming. Holiness and purity will be great preparations for you as your temple is cleansed and made ready to house the increase that is coming. This is why God's been telling us all through this revival, holiness, purity, righteousness. We have to get all the junk out of us, and we have to walk in those aspects, because if we have anything in us, the glory cannot go in us. God could not use a corrupted vessel. We have to be cleansed. We have to be sanctified. We have to work on being holy. We prepare ourselves by staying full of his presence and by guarding our hearts against any defilement of the flesh in the world. We prepare ourselves by staying full of his presence. In other words, just think on him all the time. Sing praises to him all the time. I was reading something today. I think it was Jonathan Keane. He said that instead of saying Jesus, Jesus, we should just say Lord Jesus. He said he used to always say Jesus, Jesus, and Lord. And God said, why don't you call him Lord? So now he says Lord Jesus. He's made him Lord of his life. And he said his whole life is changing because he just made that little change. Instead of saying Jesus, say Lord Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Just by a little change in one word like that. So let's go through that again. We prepare ourselves by staying full of his presence and by guarding our hearts against any defilement of the flesh and the world. You say, why do you keep repeating yourself? I want you to hear it. Amen. I want you to hear it. I want you to get it down in your spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. You're for the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. He's saying, come out from among the world. Come out. Don't associate with worldly people. You have to get yourself cleaned up, and you have to be walking in holiness and purity before you can go out there and walk with the defiled. Because if you're still defiled, you're going to become worse than they are. You have to let God clean you up. And verse 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If we would do this, he's going to be a father to us. And, God isn't like natural fathers, all right? He takes care of his children, and he loves his children, and he wants the very best for us. Be prepared and be ready. Let your spirit be full of oil. We are to be like the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Matthew 25 reveals to us that we are each responsible to have our own oil. God had me do a teaching on it a couple years ago. We can't depend on someone else's relationship with God. We need to have our own. All right? As we cultivate our relationship with Him, He will prepare us for His coming. God has been releasing the spirit of awakening within us. And He has been bringing us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. His light within us exposes and drives out the shame of sin and empowers us to live in complete freedom and victory. God's light within us exposes and drives out the shame of sin and empowers us to live in complete freedom and victory. You can read that in Ephesians 5, 8-14. As the Spirit awakens our hearts with His light, our lives are full of spiritual fruit and power. As the Spirit awakens our spirits, our hearts with His light, our lives are full of spiritual fruit and power. If you're walking around here, you're saying, I'm a child of God, and you're sinning, you're not a child of God. And there's no light in you, because light and darkness cannot mix. You know, the church used to always walk that way, and they're still walking that way today, but it has never been right. If you've been bound up by sin and by the devil had you all bound and God has set you free, then by George, serve God. Get in the light. Stay free. Don't go back to your old lifestyle and quit dabbling in sin. That's going to kill you. It's already killing you spiritually. And some of us are just too dumb to realize that. I guess I really believe a lot of people like the thought of going to hell. Because they keep hearing about living holy, living righteous, and they're still out there in their sin. You must like the idea of hell, or you wouldn't want to go, you wouldn't keep doing what you're doing. God has been releasing the spirit of awakening within us, and He has been bringing us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. His light within us exposes and drives out the shame of sin, and empowers us to live in complete freedom and victory. Now, during this time of inspection, we must remain self-controlled, alert, watchful, and sober. As we abide in His light and glory, He will fill us with more and more of Himself, releasing more of His presence and manifest power in our lives. You read that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 9. These are key scriptures for the church in this hour. They talk about living with an awakened heart. Meditate on them and pray them over your life. Stay alert and be on guard against all distractions. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 exhorts us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And nothing will be able to stand against what God will do in the days to come. Your destiny in him is limitless. This is a prophetic now word of the Lord. He wants us to hear this right now today. It will help prepare your heart to move to the next level of God's power and glory in your life. Don't be caught sleeping during this hour. Receive a fresh anointing to live with an awakened heart. Now, I titled this Achieve Breakthrough by Your Test. We've been going through an awful lot of tests and trials and tribulation and garbage and junk and everything else, right, that we just want to forget. But really, I don't know if we should be so willing to forget what we went through. Because what you went through is your testimony. And what you went through will help, will God will use you to set other people free. So don't be upset about what God had you go through. You should be excited and thank Him that He knew that you had enough strength to go through those things. And now He wants to clean you up and use you as a vessel of honor so that you can then minister to others that have been in the same boat that you just got out of. If you were a drug addict, and God cleaned you up, or you might say you cleaned yourself up, but I'm sorry, but God cleaned you up, then God's going to use you to minister to other drug addicts. See, I've never been a drug addict, so I don't know what a drug addict goes through. I just know it's terrible by watching. But, you know, so I really can't get down on that level with a drug addict and say, I understand, because I really don't. You know, and I've never been into perversion, so I can't understand perversion. But whatever you've been into, God's going to use that for His glory. He's going to use you to go ahead and testify to other people of where you were and where God brought you to today. So quit being upset about what you've had to go through and just relax and enjoy God. Be a resting and a dwelling place for God to come into. Tonight, God, what I say, don't be caught sleeping during this hour. Receive a fresh anointing to live with an awakened heart. God wants to anoint us tonight to live in an awakened heart. He wants to have such a fresh anointing that we don't want to keep going backwards. And I keep hoping and praying that some of these anointings that you people get that God wants to give you, and I don't believe some of you get it when you're laying on the floor, and I'm being honest, because you get up the same way as you went down. I watch you as you get up, and I watch you when you're laying on the floor. I can see whether you're being ministered to or whether you're just laying there. You know, if you're not going to receive what God has for you, then don't waste your time. God wants to change us. God's trying to make us vessels of honor that he can work through. But if you don't want that change, then don't waste his time and don't waste our time. Don't waste your own time. Just go on out there and enjoy your life and then go to hell and then weep for the rest of eternity that you didn't listen. But don't drag the church body of Christ down there with you. Just don't do that. You just go and enjoy yourself, because we want to enjoy ourselves. And God said he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's never going to let the sheep and the wolf dwell together. He's going to take all the chaff out of the church. Because whenever you get a wolf in there, they can really destroy. And they keep destroying and keep destroying. Because they don't want God. And they let the devil work through them to destroy the ones that do want God. You know, we have men sitting in this church right here. That's why you're going to the Conqueror series. Because you're caught up into perversion. And you're trying to be set free, and you get women come into the church. They lust after you, you know, because they have a spirit of Jezebel in them. They lust after you, and they, you know, because you're not free, that spirit comes up and manifests itself and does its thing. And then I've watched the men. They go home and they weep and they cry and they scream out to God, I didn't want to do that. Please help me. Please set me free. And what God told me last night is he's not holding that against the men. He's holding that against the women. Because the women aren't bound. They just enjoy being lustful and destroying God's men. Because God's trying to bring the men forth. And there's women who are more than willing to yield their body to Satan to be used in that area. So, if you don't want a fresh anointing to live with an awakened heart, then don't come to the altar. But if you really want that, the altar's open and God's anointing's here. We are not a church that preaches, oh, you're going to go to the sweet by and by. No, you've got to get yourself together. You have to get it right. Come on. A fresh anointing to live with an awakened heart. Be willing to be a vessel that God can work through, that you're holy and you're righteous. And if the enemy can't come and use you like he has been. Because if you don't get it together, God's going to get it together for you, and you won't like what he's doing to you. This is revival time. Revival is a change in you. You know, he can't give us signs, wonders, and miracles because we're too messed up.